EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all having a good week. Tonight's guest is Abe from Texas, sharing his own dogman and shadow people encounters and experiences that took him on a spiritual journey. Before we hear from Abe, I would like to announce the winner of our October competition for a bag of our finest High Strangeness coffee made by the awesome folks at the Redacted Coffee Company. And the winner is Linda Macaluso of New Hampshire. Congratulations, Linda, and we will get some High Strangeness out to you. Enjoy. And finally, big thank you to Jennifer, Dave, Debbie, and Samantha for joining Patreon recently and supporting the show. It really means a lot. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Abe, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on.
It's great to have you on today, and you're calling from Texas.
Yes, sir. I'm calling from Temple, Texas.
Wonderful. Now, Abe, you have had some strange encounters that began in 2006. Would you like to let the listeners know what you were doing and what you experienced, please, sir?
Yes, my name is Abram Cias. I'm under Abe Cias. I have a group called Spiritual Cryptid Encounters on Facebook. I'm prior military. I was in the military for 10 years, was in the front lines as a tanker in the Battle of Medina Ridge. The works that I do right now, as I'm a disabled vet, I do spiritual works. I like to help out people spiritually because I know how that feeling is when you're going through something spiritual or something you might understand. Those are the things that I like to do is help out people spiritually. I've been doing this works for a very long time. Besides when my encounter started, I've been doing this works, I guess you could say, because I was a kid when I started doing spiritual works. I was like 3 years old. When I was 3 years old, my older brother, he was like around 5 years old. He had bad fevers. This is like in 1974, 75. He was real sick, and the doctors from the U.S. couldn't find a cure for him. And they said that he was going to die because he had high fevers and he was always hallucinating, seeing things like snakes, spiders, because of the high fevers, you know, kind of you think about the fevers that people have with the coronavirus. So in that time, that's what that was. And they couldn't find a cure for him. And there was this medicine woman that was from Mexico, from this town called Reynosa, Mexico. She said she could heal him. She was a spiritual healer. They call her, in Spanish, it's called a curandera. The curandera, they have spiritual abilities to heal people that are being sick or spiritually afflicted. So the deal was that if she could heal him, that I would have to stay with her for 6 months in Mexico. So I remember when we went to Mexico, she had my brother in one of the rooms where she had like a fire on the ground. She had grabbed some kind of egg, and she started rubbing it on my brother and praying for my brother. As she cracked the egg, I seen this baby chick come out of the egg, and he had a broken wing and a broken leg, and he was colored black. But when that happened, my brother, he got healed because he used to walk with a limp. And his hand, one of his hands, he had it up, I guess, where he had so many high fevers that he was always in pain. All the things that he had went away and he got healed. So as he got healed, that's when I seen him leave. And I stayed there with this medicine woman. And I was, I guess you could say, her little eye, her eyes, in a sense of a way, where she would bring patients in because of the work she would do. She had like a little altar where she would put the patient, and they would say what was wrong with them. And she started healing spiritually with her hands. And at times she would pull out things out of people's body, like whether it was certain organ parts, she would pull out like barbed wire, pieces of glass from the head. Sometimes I've seen her pull scorpion snakes from people's heads, where I guess the wrongdoing, maybe a possible hex that somebody might have done what was there. And I would also see the unclean spirits. You know, when we talk about spiritual battles and some of the things that are happening right now, and have been happening for centuries, I will see where these dark shadow figures will leave the people's body where she was hearing them, healing them spiritually. The dark shadows will leave. And I could see the dark shadow because where I was at, I had the fire in front of me. And I could see the shadow people or shadow figures, which to me, I felt that were demonic, unclean spirits, demonic. They would walk against the wall and leave the hut. So I witnessed at sometimes there was people that had like three of them in them, where I could see three of them leave the body, and there would be different heights. So I got, you know, that's what I was doing for about 6 months, till the day that this medicine woman, she was in the times of, I don't know if y'all know who Pancho Villa is, but Pancho Villa, he used to fight the Mexican Revolutionary War. Well, she was from his times. When I was three, she was already up in her 90s. She was up there in age. This medicine woman, she had a patch over her eye. She walked with a limp, I guess, where she had gotten hit by a bullet. But she was a healer. That's what the work she would do. Then one day, I just remember a woman yelling, saying my name, and I looked. I didn't recognize her, but the woman that was calling me was my mother. I guess she came back to get me after 6 months. Then I remember leaving the woman. She didn't want me to go, but I left. But ever since then, as far as I can remember, I guess I've been open to that spiritual realm where I've been able to see all this. How should I say, spirits, or people want to call them demonic, or things from other, should I say, realms. I've been able to see this ever since I was small. So I'll give you examples of that. It could be when I was growing up, I remember walking down the street and there'll be a person looking at me, and I could see the unclean spirit inside the person looking at me through that individual, which that's where people have a lot of negative attachments. These negative attachments that some people might have might be from hatred, from anger, or from vengeance, unforgiveness. And that's how they attach themselves to people, through those openings. But that's something that I've witnessed all throughout my life since I was a kid. Fought a lot of spiritual battles. The balance does exist. I'm telling you, the battle between good and evil is very real. I remember being a kid, and I'll give you a story of when I was a kid, how I went through a spiritual battle. This is after the medicine woman. I remember I was already in junior high, and I stopped at the store to drink some water out of a water fountain. And as I'm cutting through the store, this woman just appears in the middle of the aisle. She just got in my way, and she's looking at me, and she's saying my name. She knows my parents' name. She knows everything about me, and I don't even know who this woman is. And she pulled out this amulet with all kinds of things on it, and she starts talking a different language. So as she's talking this different language, I already know that it's a spiritual battle that I'm going through. I look at the woman, and I start praying the Our Father, and I start calling upon the Heavenly Father and the angels. Next thing you know, as she's looking at me and she's saying what she's saying, I could see the angelic forces behind me through my parallel vision. I seen kind of like 12 of them, and they had their golden silhouette, aura silhouette. And as she seen them and made contact with them, because she could see them, she dropped her amulet and it shattered on the ground, and she turned around and she just went running, you know, like scared. But that's just an example of the spiritual battles that I've been through, you know. You could say all my life I've battled spiritually, whether it was while I was growing up or even in the military. When I was in the military, when I joined in back in 1989, you know, something had happened before that it changed my destiny, which was I lost my mother when I was 15 years old. And it has all to do with the same thing, dealing with a spiritual battle, you know, got lost to domestic violence. Well, when that happened, there was a lot of activity happening. For those whoever has ever experienced something like this, there's such things as houses being bonded. The negative energies can bond the head of the household, which is your parents. And if it can bond that, then it tries to come after everybody in the family. You know, and that's something that I went through, where I lost a loved one, and it was dealing with that. It was pretty hot and heavy, spiritual, a lot of spiritual activity. And like I said, individual has an opening, they can get bonded, in which I lost a family member, you know, in which when that happened, you know, it changed my life forever, in which I had to grow up at a young age and work two jobs and take care of my brothers and sisters. But it just made me a stronger person, because I knew what had happened. You know, at that time I wasn't as strong as I am spiritually now, but it changed everything. You know, fate, you know, it changes everything. It changes. You have to grow up at a young age and follow your path in life, which I joined the military. So when I went to join the military, I went out there to Desert Storm. I was in a battle of Medina Ridge, and, you know, we had to do what we had to do out there, which to me, all the things that I was experiencing and witnessing, you know, it's like I said, it's about the balance, you know, when you experience like loss, or you're seeing this battle between good and evil, you know, it's about what you want to choose. You know, do you want your heart to be black, to have hatred, to have anger? Do you want to feel that way? Or do you want to feel free? Do you want to feel loved? You know, which is different. You know, I've been there where the heart is black, and, you know, there's hatred, there's anger, there's vengeance. It's not a good feeling of being bonded. You know, you want to be free from that. It holds you back from who you really are, you know. And I believe that we're all children of God, you know, just like the medicine woman used me when I was a child, you know, because we're born into this world. We're born without sin, because it's a sin that comes after when we're born, which is the path was placed in front of us. You know, the seeds that are planted, that's what makes us as an individual. But those are the things that can change our path, you know, and it's like, how do we want to be as an individual? And I knew how I wanted to be as an individual after seeing so many people get spiritually attacked, and I've seen people lose their lives in combat. You know, when I was in combat, it wasn't just the enemy that was there that we fought. I've seen, you could say, the death angels or the wraith or the soul collectors out there during the battle, where you see them flying around and jumping from person to person, and people are losing their lives, you know, in that manner. You see it all the time, even in church, where you see people getting spiritually attacked, where the unclean spirit is jumping from person to person because it's finding people it can hide in, you know. And most of the times, these people, they have openings. What it is about is what you allow in your heart, or you have any openings. The openings they use is, like I said, unforgiveness, hatred, anger, and stuff like that. But no, I was just telling you a little bit about the military. I witnessed a lot of things in the military, but I'm going to go now to the present time of what happened to me in Elms Grove. No, I'm just saying what I've been through. But this is after the military, when I got out in 1999, and I moved to this park called Elms Grove Estates in Killeen, Texas. Moved there because my son was born, and I really wouldn't notice nothing in that area at the beginning. I moved there because I bought a brand new mobile home. There's a nice park within the park where there's swings, slides, and there's a swimming pool. Very nice area. And there's a creek, you know, beautiful scenery. So that's why I wanted my son to grow up in an area where he can go play football, throw the baseball around, play some soccer. They even had a volleyball net and stuff like that. So that's why I like the park. In 2006, a friend of mine had come over with her daughter, and my son and her daughter were playing at the swing sets, the slides and the swing sets. And I was trying to show her the creek so she could see how beautiful it looked. So I took her to the creek, and you could see the running water. And, you know, when children are playing, you could hear them because they're, you know, they're loud. So you could hear them playing. Next thing you know, we don't hear them playing no more. So I was like, hey, the children are kind of quiet. Let's see what's going on. So we went out back from the wood line to the park. That's not even, it wasn't even 5 foot deep, you know, from the wood line to the park area. So when we were looking for them, we couldn't find them by the swing sets or the slides. And in the park, there's two sides to the park where the children can play. So we walked to the other side of the park where there's a merry-go-round and a swing set and a slide also. But they wasn't there. So we walked to my house to see if they might be playing video games. You know, at that time, it was like we had a Sega Genesis and a Nintendo 64. So I went in there looking for them, couldn't find them. My sister was there. And she said that nobody had come to the house. So she went looking out. She went out there looking, helping us look for them also, because it had already been like 40, 45 minutes had passed by as we were searching for them. And I told them to call the police, you know, because we couldn't find them. So as I went back to the park, the sun starts settling and start getting dark. And I see something from a distance. It looks like the top of the head of my son in the woods. So I ran towards the wood line, and I'm looking, and I go through the bushes, and I see my son. And I'm yelling his name, and he's not responding to me. And as I get closer to them, then I can see her. So they were both standing in there, side by side, as in a trance-like state. As I was saying, what are y'all doing here? They wouldn't respond to me. Like, they couldn't respond to me. So I kept on saying, what are y'all doing here? What are y'all doing here? And finally, both of them said this at the same time. The man in black, or black man, called us. That's what they said. I'm yelling for my sister and my friend to come and get them. And I told them to take them to the house. So when they took them to the house, I went searching for this man in black or black man. Went searching through the woods. I searched the whole area. I went to the creek. I went near the highway that's right there in between the woods. And I went underneath the bridge looking for this man in black, in which I searched for about 30 minutes, and I couldn't find nobody. So when I went back home, my friend left, and I was just there with my son. And that night, you know, my son was acting strange. Like, he wasn't acting himself. As I was in the room, he was laying on the bed. And next thing you know, he puts his feet on the wall. He starts moving very, awkwardly. Like, it's not him, you know, he's using his feet to walk on the wall as he's laying on his back. And then he gets up from the bed and he's moving at me. He's moving his body a certain way that I've never seen before. So something didn't seem right, you know. So as I'm looking at him, I'm saying, son, are you okay? He's not responding to me. And then all of a sudden, he just starts cussing at me. My son at the time, he was like 5 years old. He starts cussing at me. All kinds of bad words that he never, you know, it was not of his character. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on with him, you know. So the only thing I know how to do, like I said, is pray, you know, for people that are, I felt like something was there. So I laid him in bed. I got me some holy water and I start praying for him, you know, trying to get rid of whatever is wrong with him. And as I was praying for him, he was acting weird. Like something was within him, and he got up, jumped off the bed, and he went running through my home. So I went over there and I was trying to use the Love Foundation. I said, "Hey son, I love you." And he's cussing at me still, you know, so he runs back to the room. So I continue to pray. And then I say, "Whatever's there, you're not welcome here. You need to leave now." As I'm saying this, I could see that my son's demeanor changed. And he was acting normal. But when that happened, I could see like traces of blood up on where the ceiling fan is, the fixtures where the light bulb goes. I could see traces of blood up on the fixture areas, and I could see traces of blood on the walls. And I'm like, what is this? What is this stuff? You know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. So I go into the kitchen because I'm following this trace of blood that's on the walls and on my fixtures where the ceiling fans are or the light fixtures in the kitchen. And then I see it dripping. You know, it's dripping from the kitchen. And when it's dripping from the fixture in the kitchen where my table is, I had a bowl of grapefruit and oranges. Well, when I looked at the bowl, the grapefruits, all the oranges were rotten. They were like black. And there was a grapefruit that was on top of all of them, and it was real huge, like something was there, you know. He had changed color and everything. So I picked up the bowl and threw the fruits away, but the grapefruit, we grabbed it. It was me and this other young gentleman that I was helping out. He had helped me pray also, and we took the grapefruit and took it out of the park, and when we tossed it and the grapefruit hit the ground, you could see like traces of blood where I believe an unclean spirit, as we were praying and rebuking it, found a different host. And the host went into the fruit. He went into the fruit, which that's how sometimes that's what they do. They try to find a host to go to. But this only place they could find was a fruit. As me and the gentleman that were praying, we had prepared ourselves spiritually. But this happened. Well, that same day when he had that encounter and when he got lured into the woods. So after that, I told my friend how her daughter is because I told her what had happened to my son. And she said she was doing okay. So I told her to bring her camcorder because I wanted to record. Go back into the path where they send this man in black. So she came back the following day and said, "Look, I'm going to go first. If you see him through the camera, you let me know, point me out, and I'm going to go grab this guy because we're going to call the cops and we're going to get him arrested for luring our children in there because, you know, I thought he was some kind of pedophile or something like that." So we go into the woods and we're walking down the path, and not even 5 to 7 feet into the path, my friend says, "Oh my God, I think I caught something." And she took off running out of the woods, and I'm looking. I start searching to see if I see anybody, but I don't see nobody. So I walk out of the path. As I walk out of the path, she's scared, and she grabs her daughter, and they leave. So I go to her house to see the footage, because I want to review the footage of what she recorded. So I'm looking at the footage and I go to the part where she say, "Oh my God, I think I see something." When she said that, I looked, you could see a figure by the tree and he was looking at us, you know, a dark figure, like with some yellowish eyes, and he had like a golden amulet around its neck. So as he said, "Oh my God, I think I see something," you can see it, like where it's looking at us, and it goes straight down into the ground. Like it literally went into Mother Nature itself. Like it teleported into Mother Earth. And that's what we witnessed. So that incident happened. And after that, you know, nothing had happened there for a while, till it was around this time frame, as a matter of fact, when it starts getting cool, start getting fresh, and the leaves start falling from the trees, where I had my incident that happened to me, where my sister woke me up one day. She's telling me that she's hearing this woman yelling for help. So it's around 3 a.m. I get up, and I could hear the woman yelling for help, like she's saying. And she's like, "You need to help her. You need to help her. I know you can, because, you know, prior military. No, I've worked in all terrains, snow, in the desert, in the woods." So I grabbed a bat, you know. I said, "Well, the only way I'm going to be able to help out this individual yelling for help, sneak up to this person that's causing harm, you know, surprise them." So I grabbed the bat and I start following the cry for help, and it's coming. I go through the park, I pass the slide, and I go to the swing sets. And as I'm by the swing sets, I could hear the cry for help coming from inside the woods. So I'm there, and I'm hearing her yelling for help. So I go into follow the path, you know, I start following this path that's there. It's a path that's there because the mobile home park, they have water pumps that are out there. So where they get the water from. So it's they have two locations there in the woods where there's actually water pumps down in there in the ground that circulate the water throughout the park, and they control also the sewage and stuff like that. So I start following the path, and I could hear the cry for help coming, getting closer to me. So as I'm ready to swing my bat, and I'm fixing to swing it, the cry for help stops. I don't hear the cry for help no more. So as I'm looking, you know, I'm searching. I figured I'm going to do a surprise attack on this, whoever's doing the harm. I'm looking to see if I see any movement or to see if I hear her say, "Help me again." So I'm looking, I'm studying the area, you know, and it's pitch dark in there because I went in there with no flashlight. So I'm looking, and a certain section of that path, the trees cross over, which looks like a tunnel. And so it's darker in there. So when I cross out of that area, you can see the sky, so it gets lighter. So I'm looking and I'm searching, and I can't see nobody, you know. And I'm looking across the creek. There's a club there, but the club was closed, so I don't see nobody there. So still searching for the woman, and I don't find her. So when at that time frame, I felt something over me, like I felt like I got lured into the woods. And all my senses kicked in. My hairs are standing up. The back of my hair stands up. And when I turned around, it's when I seen them. There was 6 of them. There was military terms. So I'm going to say the right side and the left side, but I call them right flank. They were on the right flank. The closest to me was, I say, 6 feet away. He was real tall. I say he was like 10 foot tall, 9 to 10 foot tall. It was real tall because he was looking down at me. I'm 5'11", and, you know, I'm pretty good at distinguishing heights and ranges, you know, because of the military. So he's looking down at me. The only thing I could see was the dark silhouette, which looked like a werewolf kind of like the silhouette, and the eyes that were glowing white. And there were like in 5 meter intervals, because the next one to him was like maybe five to 6 feet away from him, looking at me also. And there was another one on the right side, right flank, which was another 6 meters after him. And on the left side of the path, there was one, I'd say like 10 feet away from me. They were positioned differently. And there was one looking at me. There was one in a huddle position. And that was like another 6 feet away from him. There was one further deeper into the woods. and it was facing the opposite direction, but I could see its white glowing eyes. So it's like when I was in that situation, I was trying to figure out, well, I got this bat in my hand. I could swing at the one that's close to me, but there's six of them. You know, if I swing it and as big as it was, I figured that the bat wasn't going to do nothing but break as big as it was. So I'm looking at them, and I had three options. You know, one was run into the creek, which was probably 15 feet away from me. I had to run into the creek, but then I said, whatever, run into the creek, I'm going into deeper into the woods, and the one that's close to me is going to follow me in there. Then I had another option, which is run to the left where the bridge is and the highway, but the one that was flanking me to the left, the way they were positioned, they would have chased me into that direction, whether it would be the bridge or the woods. So the only really option that I had was to go back down the same path. So I know what I was seeing and what I was witnessing, but I had to take my mind somewhere else spiritually. I knew that I couldn't show fear. If it's something real, if it was something in the flesh, we're not supposed to show fear because they can sense that, they can smell that. So I took my mind somewhere else, and I went into inner prayer, and I started praying to Our Father. I prayed to Our Father numerous times before I even took my first step, because in the predicament I was, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. So the only thing I could do is just go ahead. At least I know if something was going to happen to me, hopefully somebody was going to find something, some remains of me right there down that path, you know, because I was going to be within the path. I took the step forward, and I started praying to Our Father, to continue to pray to Our Father. And as I was walking forward, I could see the one close to me as it moved its head and it was looking at me. I could see its white glowing eyes. It was looking down at me. So I'm ignoring them. I make like a tunnel vision where I'm just focusing at a certain point, and I'm not really looking at them, or I'm just seeing them looking at me through my peripheral vision. So as I'm passing by through the middle of them, I noticed something that they came to my mind. As I'm saying the Our Father, they acknowledged the Our Father. And they were saying, the Holy One, the Holy One. As I was praying the Our Father, they kept on repeating themselves. All of them were saying, the Holy One, the Holy One. That's what they kept on saying. So I continued to pray the Our Father till I walked out of the woods. At one point in time, when I walked around the bend, I could feel like there was one right there by me, right behind me. I could feel it like real close to me, but I didn't turn around. I could feel the energy, the heat coming off of it. You know, I just kept on going. You know, once I walked out of the path, I could see my mobile home from a distance. So I just kept on saying to Our Father and never turned back, never turned around, and just kept on praying to Our Father till I got home. When I got home, my sister was waiting for me. It had been about, I'd say, 15 to 20 minutes, me being in the woods, because I was there that long because my sister was trying to figure out what happened to me. When I walked up to the stairs, she's there and she looks at me and she's like, are you okay? And I guess she's seen that I was pale or whatever I encountered out there. And I just didn't say nothing to her. I walked inside the home. I was trying to be strong. I walked into the home. I see my son laying in bed asleep, and I went straight to the restroom. I took off my clothes and I took a shower because I wanted to take the scent of fear off of me. As I was taking a shower, I started praying to Our Father again, and I was praying for the Father to bless the water, to cleanse me from whatever was out there. And that's what had happened to me there in Elms Grove that evening.
Good health starts with good habits. Quip makes it easy by delivering all the oral care essentials you need to care for your mouth. The Quip electric toothbrush is loved by over 7 million mouths and has timed sonic vibrations with 30-second pulses to guide a dentist-recommended 2-minute clean. A lightweight and sleek design for adults and kids with no wires or bulky charger to weigh you down. On top of all your brushing, you can upgrade your Quip with a new smart motor to track and improve your brushing launching with a free Quip app. Earn amazing rewards like free refills, products, Target gift cards, and more. Now, beyond the brush, Quip has everything you need to build a complete routine. Anti-cavity toothpaste in natural mint or watermelon flavors, with tooth-strengthening fluoride, xylitol to help reduce oral bacteria, and a vegan-friendly formula. It's all the ingredients teeth need, and none they don't. In a 100% recyclable plastic tube. Refillable gum that's sugar-free, has a long-lasting mint flavor, and comes with a dispenser. In addition to brush heads, Quip also delivers fresh floss, toothpaste, mouthwash, and gum refills every 3 months from $5. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the hustle and bustle of in-store shopping, with stylish and affordable electric toothbrushes starting at just $25. You won't be paying through the teeth for oral health. If you go to getquip.com/UFO right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/UFO, spelt GETQUIP.com/UFO. Quip, the Good Habits Company.
After that incident right there, a couple of years passed by. My nephew was trying to join the military, and we witnessed something. We was sitting in front of the mobile home, and we seen somebody peeking over my neighbor's SUV. We seen it peeking over the SUV. We went to look to see if it was a person trying to break into her SUV. So as we went around her mobile home, we seen somebody running down through her yard. So we went back to our mobile home, and we seen something low crawling on the street, because there's light fixtures throughout the park. So you could, at nighttime, you could see within the park, and we see something low crawling. At first, I thought it was a dog, and I said, "Man, that's too big to be a dog. Maybe it's a deer." Then it went into all fours. It stood up a little bit. It's like a mid crawl, and as I'm looking at it, I said, "That's not no deer." But then when it stood up, that's when you know it wasn't no deer. When he stood up on twos, it was a brown one that we initially seen. We seen the brown one, and the brown one started running. But as we started running parallel to it on the opposite street, it went towards some mobile homes to the left. But underneath the tree, there was a different one. There was a dark one that we seen, which was a black grayish one that we seen underneath this tree. It looked at us and it started running down the street. So the way it was running, the way it was built, the brown one was pretty big also, but the black one was massive. The black one was, the way his legs was nothing but, the body was nothing but muscle. The legs were, the lower torso, the knees were a certain way where it curved inward where the legs were, the lower part of the knee was curved like a C. And you could see the massive muscle of the legs, the long torso of the body, and you could see the massive chest, the arms, the shoulders, and the face. You could see a snout of sort, but it wasn't a long snout. It was like a mid snout. But when it was running, it kept its hands in front of it, but it was just using nothing but leg power, where it would, it was like a leaping. It wasn't running like a person would run. It was like more of like, we just use the power of the legs to make it like a bouncing leap, in which the bouncing leap was so long of a stride that it just left us behind. So when that had happened to us, we was trying to figure out if that was the same thing that I had seen in the woods when I had my the experience in the woods. So after that, you know, it's like we started thinking that maybe what we're seeing, we're witnessing, is something that's real, that's here in the flesh, because we could hear. We've seen it running over 100 yards. So, you know, it made me to believe that it was something real. We heard it when it ran into the creek, because you hear the branches break where it ran through the creek. A couple of months passed by, and me and my nephew sitting at the park bench at nighttime, we're talking. The trees here in Texas are acorns. There's a lot of acorn trees where I used to live. As we're talking, this giant branch from the acorn tree, I mean, it was a massive branch. It looked like a giant tree limb, you know. It could be the size of a tree. That's how big of a branch it was. It broke, and it landed behind us with the branches and everything. As it landed behind us, something else landed there beside us, which it landed on twos, and it was a brown one that we had seen. And it was looking at me, and I was looking at it. And it was standing on twos, and it ran into the creek. It ran into the creek. It broke the branches, ran into the creek, and then it came back out of the creek, and it sprinted down the park towards the area where I had my encounter. So when that happened, it's like, well, maybe what I experienced was something real that's here in the flesh, you know, and I started believing that what I was seeing and witnessing was something real that was in the flesh. So when that happened, that I started to believe what I was seeing, when things really started happening. You see, when I was seeing these things, whether it was a silhouette or when I got lured into the woods, where there was a white glowing eyes, or whether what we seen running down the street, or what I seen at the park, I started believing what I was seeing. That's when things got crazier, because what started happening is there wasn't showing themselves that way no more, you know, because it got me to believe what I was seeing was to be something real. What started happening is there was two things that happened. There was this dark shadow figures that started coming around my home. Not just around my home, they started coming inside my house. They were pretty tall, dark shadow figures. There was one night that my sister's son had a son, and he was only a couple of weeks old. And he was staying with us, and I could hear the baby crying in the living room. And as the baby was crying in the living room, I went to go see what was going on with him. So I seen somebody over him, and I thought it was my nephew changing his diaper. So as I go towards the living room, and I said my nephew's name is Rick. I said, Rick, are you okay, Rick? And whatever was there, it just stood up, and I looked, and my front door was wide open. So it left out of the house real fast, and I started yelling to my sister and my nephew that somebody's trying to take their son. So they came out of the rooms to check up on their son. So I went after this figure that I seen, or dark shadow that I seen. And as I was chasing it down the street, I could see it moving down the street, but it wasn't even running or nothing. It was gliding off the ground. It was like two feet off the ground, and it was just gliding off on air down the street towards the park. As I chased it towards the park, I seen it go through a tree. Literally, the shadow went into a tree. So I'm telling it to identify itself. You know, as I'm telling it to identify itself, it comes out of the tree and goes into another tree. It's like literally teleporting through these trees, you know. And as I'm telling it again to identify itself, it comes out of the tree and it goes, starts gliding up in the air. By then it changed form, and it looks like a man, but it's not a man. It's a dark shadow. It looks like he's got a cape of some sort, and like a hat, and it's going up in the air. It's gliding up into the air, and I'm still telling it to identify itself, and it's laughing at me. You know, it's laughing at me, making fun of me. So I'm praying against it, and it just goes flying into the air, goes up to the higher branches up in the trees, and it just disappears up into the trees. So the things of those, the dark shadow figures started happening around my home, where I could hear poundings of the walls. I could hear them running on top of the roof. And I'm not seeing this werewolf-like creature or dogman creature no more. I'm seeing the shadow beings, you know, and I'm praying constantly on a daily basis, trying to get them away from my home. I'm blessing my home daily. I even placed salt around the house because, like I said, they were coming. You could see them coming from the woods at nighttime. 12 strong, 8 strong, 6 strong. They move real fast, and they will go through in through the walls, through the homes, you know. And I'm not the only one witnessing this. Some of my family members are witnessing this because, like I said, I was helping out my sister. She was staying with me. So these shadow figures, they have a lot of abilities. They could manifest at any given time. They can teleport through the walls. They have the ability to open doors, windows, sliding doors, you name it. They had all this capabilities. So I start praying against them, fighting spiritually. And then I stopped seeing the shadow people, right? So I figured that maybe I had overcame them, you know, I went spiritually, till I started hearing a combination of both. I could hear, for example, I was walking one day, and I could hear footsteps, like somebody's running towards me. And next thing you know, I get hit. I go fly 4 or 5 feet, I tumble and roll. I stand up with my guards up, and there's nobody there. So I start getting physically attacked by an unseen force. And it's not the creature that I've seen. It's not the shadow people. It's an unseen force this time, where I'm just getting hit by air. That's what it seemed like to me, where numerous times I got spiritually attacked this way, where I could hear somebody running. Sometimes I get hit in front and I go fly backwards, or I'll get hit in the back. A lot of the times it was mainly in the back, but I could never see the figures that I seen in the woods, or what I seen running down the street, or even the shadow no more. They were attacking me through an unseen, like invisible. They were like an invisible or cloak where you can't see them. So I was getting attacked in that manner. I'm just trying to live my life in my home, and it's like my home was getting infiltrated by this, whatever it was. So I continue to pray spiritually, and I'm like, well, what opening do I have that is allowing something to attack me? So I started thinking, you know, I said, well, I do have some forgiveness that I have to do. I have to repent for some of my sins from the past. So maybe the opening is there, you know. So I forgave, truthfully, people of my past, or, you know, things that I've done when I was in combat. You know, I forgave. And that day that I forgave, truthfully, from my heart, they said when you forgive, that forgiveness is part of love, and you get spiritually blessed by the Heavenly Father forgiven, because that's part of love. Well, that evening that I forgave, I seen two of them come through my wall, and they were standing in front of me in my room, in my bedroom. They're talking to me telepathically, these beings, and they said they wanted to show me something. So they showed me this imagery of, they took me to this, they show me this place, I guess it's called Sinai, where they reside, and they're called the Tormentors. That's what they do. They torture the people or the souls down there, spirits. They would show me all this people that were torturing. Their flesh would come off their body, then the flesh will go back on their body, and it was like an encoring, reoccurring torture, you know. So then I'm back, you know, back in my room, because they took the image away. They told me that they want me to do something. They told me that if I take my life, that they wouldn't mess with nobody in my family or my son. But you see, then I knew that what I was dealing with, at that time I knew what I was dealing with, because it's about, you know, when we're children of God, it's about our souls. You know, we're here, we all have a soul, and we all have an opportunity to make it into the kingdom of heaven. So I already knew I had forgiven, truthfully. So they was trying to say if I didn't do that, they were going to come after my family or my son. And I said, well, my family and my son are protected by the Heavenly Father. And then I took authority over them, because I already knew then at that time that what I was dealing with was a demonic entity. So I said, I take authority over you. You have no power here. I said, I tie it, bind you, and rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I call upon the heavenly angels when I did that. And that was the last time had an encounter with them. I finished paying off of a mobile home, and I moved from that area. I moved in 2015 to Temple, Texas, where I live now. It's been 5 years since I moved from that area, but for a long time there, it's like, and then not just me, but my sister, my nephew, my nieces, it would always take us back to that place sometimes. You know, it's like we're connected there spiritually in some kind of way. Where sometimes our dreams take us back to that time. I don't know, is it because of everything we endured, a form of PTSD maybe? I'm not sure. But sometimes those things do happen. But where I live now, I have no kind of activity in that manner. Thank God that I'm able to, you know, it just made me stronger, Brother Nick, what I went through and endured there. And there was a lot of other events also, where it can be very deceiving. There was another incident that happened when I found out finally what it was. Before that, there was another incident in between that had happened, that he was trying to throw me for a complete loop. And what I mean is, there was one day I was walking down the street, down the main road of the highway. I was walking to the store. I stopped cutting through the woods or going into the park, you know, because of what was happening. There was this man, this African man, walking on the right side of the road in front of me, like maybe 40 feet away from me. So as he gets near the bridge, there's rails there. I see him get elevated, in the air by an unseen force. He's elevated off the ground about 6 feet, and he gets slammed to the ground. Then his body gets picked up again around 6 feet, and gets slammed. He's got slammed to the ground 3 times. So I'm walking as I get close to him. I'm parallel to him. I'm saying, sir, you okay? Are you okay? He's not saying nothing to me. He's not responding. He's just laying. His body just laying on the ground. So I go onto the bridge, and I cross the bridge to his side. So as I'm in the middle of the bridge, I'm looking at the man. I said, sir, are you okay? Are you okay? And then finally, he moves a little bit, and he gets up, and he starts stumbling towards me. He's stumbling towards me, and he gets close to me near by the bridge, and he looks at me, and this is what he says to me. He says, next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. And I said, sir, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm thinking, well, maybe it's a blow to the head, but I knew that it was something else because of the unseen force that picked him up and slammed him. So I'm saying, sir, do you need help? And he keeps on repeating himself with the same thing. Next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. So I'm not trying to focus on that, you know? So I focus with love. So come on, sir, let me help you. Come on, follow me, follow me. So he follows me all the way to the store. So I told him to wait for me right there in the counter, you know, and I'm just evaluating him from a distance. I'm not trying to get too close to him. So as I'm getting some water for him, he tells the clerk there, what's your name? And he told her the same thing. Next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. And she gets scared. And I said, no. He just hit his head. He hit his head. He don't know what he's saying. So I had grabbed the bottle of water, and I prayed over it for God to bless the water. So when I gave him the water and he started drinking it, whatever was there left his body because he became normal. He don't even remember what happened to him on that bridge. He don't remember walking from the bridge, how he got dropped. He don't remember none of that. The only thing he told me was, I asked him, where are you coming from? He said that his truck had run out of gas and he was going home to get a gallon. The gas tank to fill it up. He was walking home to get a gas tank to put some gas in there to go fill up his truck so he can, you know, take it to the gas station. So that was kind of one of the things that happened. And then the same highway, like I said, I was coming through the woods. There was a different time where I was walking and I heard pebbles behind me. Like pebbles just flew by me to the front of me. So that's letting me know that somebody's behind me. You know, so as I turn around real fast with my guards up, I see this tall man coming out of he had barely come out of the woods and he was running towards me. So I put my guards up like because I thought he was trying to attack me. I look at him. He's looking at me and he stopped running towards me. I said, are you trying to sneak up on me? And I got my guards up in the air. He's just looking at me and gives me a smile. And I said, because you triggered my military instincts. You know, I had my guards up ready to fight him. He's not saying nothing to me. I said, what's your name? The only thing he says is Indiana. You know, that's what he said. His name is Indiana. So I didn't trust him. So I let him walk parallel to me. As soon as he walked, got beside me, I started walking. So how about we walk together, Indiana? So I started walking towards the bridge where the man had fallen down. And as we started going towards the bridge, and we're by the bridge, it's like a time stopped, or there was like a time warp of some sort where the cars that were passing by were going real slow, like in slow motion. And as I'm witnessing the cars going real slow motion on top of the bridge, on the rails of the bridge, I could see these translucent beings that were there. They had like reddish eyes, but they're translucent, like a cloak. And they looked like owls of sort, but they were translucent. And they were jumping in. What they were doing, as the cars were going slow, they was jumping off the rail, going into the cars, going in through the people. And to me, it felt like they were feeding off the individuals, you know, that were passing by in the vehicles. So I'm witnessing this. So I start praying to Our Father, you know, I'm praying to Our Father within myself. And then I see Indiana looking at me kind of weird. And he's not saying nothing, but he's still walking beside me. So as we walk out of that, to me, is whether it was a portal or whether it was a time warp of sorts, we walk out of it and everything becomes normal. Like the cars are moving normal. I don't see this. I'm not seeing this translucent beings no more. So I walk to the corner store, and Indiana at the time is walking behind me again. So I turn around and I face him, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me. And I stick up my hand and I give him a handshake and I said, it was nice meeting you, Indiana. So when I gave him the handshake, his fingers felt weird and I could feel like claws, like he had some kind of claws on him. So I'm giving him a handshake and I'm attending my Love Foundation. So he's looking at me and I see something. I see like on his skin, like a rip in his skin around the cheekbone areas. I'm seeing like greenish, something greenish, like greenish scales. That's what I'm seeing. So I start using the Love Foundation. I start saying the Our Father within myself. And he's trying to pull away from me. When he pulls away from me, he smiles. And when he smiles, I can see the sharp teeth that he had, real, real sharp teeth. So he's looking at me. And when he smiles again, his eyes look different. And his skin is more ripped in the forehead and in the sides. You can see scales, like greenish scales. He's looking at me, and he just looks up towards the sky. And he looks back down at me, turns around, and walks away. So I didn't want to know who he was or what it was. So I just walked to the store. Those are some of the things that were happening to me that it was so confusing. You know, it's kind of like, what is the box called? Pandora's box. It's like Pandora's box opened up and everything within Pandora's box came at me at once. You know, as he was trying to deceive me and he came into me in many ways and many forms, you know, whether it was using my own mind to come up against me or whatever the case might be. He came at me in many forms, in many ways. But basically, whether it came to me in the form of a beast, in the form of a shadow, in the form of being invisible, or in the form of this reptilian creature that I witnessed, I overcame all that, you know, through a Love Foundation. It was a battle. It was a very strong spiritual battle that I went through and I endured. But it made me a stronger person. It makes me the person that I am right now. Whoever here's listening, just know one thing. And this goes to the people just like me that talk to me about suicide. For anybody that feels in this manner, the spirit being spiritually attacked by an unseen force like this, and they're telling you to give up your life, you know, you're not worth it. They're lying to you. Whatever is there is lying to you because you are worth it. You are worth it. And the spiritual battle, what are we all going through right now, is dealing with this, brothers and sisters. Whoever's your view with this, is dealing with our souls. You see, there's some creatures here on this earth, something that's been here for a very long time, that was created by the Watchers, which we call the Nephilim. And the Nephilim had the Riphium. Well, those are the children of the Nephilim, but they're all... The Watchers were angels that were watching the woman at the beginning of time. They slept with women and they created the Nephilim, which are not God's creations. You know, this is the angels that were going against God at the time when even Lucifer was going against God when the one third of the legion fell. Well, these creatures, we know them as demons now, we call them disembodied Nephilim. They're always looking for a host. And they're always looking for a host to see who they can attach themselves to. But at the same time, it's not about just attaching themselves to. They want to destroy the host. And the reason they want to get rid of the person is because disembodied Nephilim, the one third that fell down to the earth, they don't have a chance to make it back into the kingdom of heaven to where it's good. But we do. You know, it doesn't matter what path we are on. We have an opportunity to make it into the kingdom of heaven. We have that opportunity. It's a birthright. And that's why a lot of things happen the way they happen right here on earth right now. It's because there's a lot of seeds of negativity that are being placed and that are being planted because it wants to deter us away from our path into the kingdom of heaven. So when you pay too much close attention to the media, to the negative things that are happening around the world, those are the opening it uses to come up against us, to keep us bonded. There's a lot of us that might be bonded, right? There's a lot of people that might be bonded in this way where they're not able to see spiritually because they're living the life. They're living a day-to-day basis, and they're not focused on possibly maintaining a Love Foundation or doing spiritual works. They're just living for the moment, you know, and that's what it's about. You know, for those who might be going through something like this, you're not alone. I know what you're going through. Don't be afraid. Just remember that you're stronger than whatever is coming up against you spiritually. And you, this is how you put it to a test. You know, whatever you're going through, just say, I take authority over you. I tie, bind, and rebuke you in Jesus' name. And whatever is there is going to leave. Or if it doesn't leave, just continue to pray and have a personal relationship. You have to, like I said, forgive, let go of the things of the past, and cut those negative ties that it might be using to come up against you spiritually.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
I just wanted to share this story, Brother Nick Hunter. So I'm just trying to send this positive message, brother. This is the works that I do. I've been doing it for a very long time. Even like right now, this weather here in Texas, you know, there's still activity that happens around me every day. Not as bad as in that area, but I'll give an example. Last night, I was sitting in the living room. It's already like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I hear my backyard, it's got a giant fence. It's like a 12-foot, 13-foot fence, and it goes around the backyard, which, you know, it would be hard for somebody to climb. But last night, I have four dogs now. At that time, when I was going through, well, I didn't have no dogs. I have four German Shepherds. You heard somebody yank on my sliding door, like they were trying to come into the house, and my dog growls, and then my other dog growls, so they all took off running to the sliding door. So I opened up the sliding door and let them out, and they ran towards the corner of the fence. So I'm looking, and I turn on the light. I'm looking. I don't see nothing. So I call them back inside the house. I come back inside the house, and as soon as I sit down, I see two squad cars in front of my house, and they're passing around with a high beam like they're searching for somebody, you know, and I'm like, there's no way a person in the middle of the dark is going to jump a fence like that. That's a tall fence. The only thing that I could think of is just these beings. That's what they do. They have those abilities. And it's that time frame, around the time frame that I had my incident that happened in Elms Grove. This time frame right now with the weather, how it's fresh, that's the time frame that everything happened to me. But there was two squad cars searching with the high beams last night. But I'm not trying to give it no power. Even though I heard my sliding door trying to get yanked open, you know, I'm not giving it power, you know, so. Yes, brother, sometimes we have to not give power to the things that are happening around us because maybe, you know, that's what it wants. Disembodied bodies or demons, they want to be alive, right? They want to be alive, but they cannot be alive.
You know, it's very easy for people to become victims spiritually. They have, you know, anger, hate, pain, and they're dealing with depression or even addiction, I'd imagine.
Yes, sir. I mean, look at the world we live in, brother. There's a... like I said, the things the media spreads, you never notice. When has the media ever spread love?
You know, gone are the stories, the good, you know, the good news stories at the very end of the news, you know. You know, you don't see that anymore. It's just fear. That's all you see. And, of course, this affects people.
Yes, sir. It's affected people in a different way. And, you know, when I was talking about bondage, you got spiritual bondage, but look at the... what our countries are trying to do, they're trying to bond the people, you know, by trying to get us to walk a certain path, to walk a certain way, and all this. You know, it's a personal decision how you want to be spiritually. I see this unseen spiritual world, and a lot of people don't in the fields, like whether it be paranormal, whether it be cryptid, it be dealing with UFOs, they don't want to talk about this aspect. They're afraid to talk about the aspect. They're afraid of it, where... I've been, I guess, targeted, you know, when I bring this, or what I went through, you know, it's my story of what I went through and how I overcame it. And some people don't want to see it that way. There's people that say, well, Bigfoot, a dog man, a mothman, it's a real creature. It's in the flesh, you know, or they want to say a reptilian or, you know, call different names, grays and all this stuff. They're real. They're in the flesh, you know, but I just share my story of what I went through, how it showed me itself like it was in the flesh, but then it attacked me in a different way, in a different manner. And the way I overcame it was by cutting those negative ties, and I overcame it with love, you know, and that's one thing they don't like. I've noticed that what I witnessed is they don't like a love foundation. The reason they don't like a love foundation, and like I said, forgiveness is part of that. And when you forgive, you get rid of that hatred, the anger, the vengeance. It's because you have a direct connection to a higher power, to the Heavenly Father, in which the angels are around you and you're spiritually blessed to be able to overcome any kind of spiritual battles. So I know there's a lot of people, brother, that are out there that are being spiritually attacked, because they call me sometimes, you know, a lot of times where they're going through things. I've prayed for people through Messenger. They could be in other states or on the other side of the world, and I pray for them to whatever they're going through. But at the end, it's up to how they want to be. You know, they have to take that authority over their situation and say, you know what, I'm not going to allow this negativity. Or say, for example, you know, because you got to be careful what you say. Even if we talk about suicide, you have to be careful of that, because, you know, there's people that get offended when you talk about suicide because they lost a family member to suicide. Right. So in that manner, you know, there's a lot of people that are struggling through that right now. But it's not really that it's them that is thinking that way. It's the unseen forces, right, this unclean spirit that I'm telling you about, that making them that way, because they want them to lose the opportunity to make it. They want to get, you know, if they can trick many people into killing each other, committing suicide, they've already won in a sense of a way by taking more souls. And that's what it is. It's trying to make people lose the opportunity to make the kingdom of heaven, because they don't have that opportunity. Just like they won't be able to go through people as a host, they cannot do that. You know, they will never make it into the kingdom of heaven, but we can. But it's about what we do, and the things that we practice are the things that we do here on earth right now that matters. But the spiritual battle is very real, brother.
It's something we have all had to deal with in one form or another. And
yes, sir.
It's important to people to know that, you know, there's always someone out there that will help you, that will be there for you. You know, you're not dealing with this alone, and you can fight.
Yes,
you can fight. You know, sometimes it seems like it's the only way, but, you know, it's not. There are other options.
Yes, sir. I got it. When I was in the Army, I was a sergeant in the Army, and I was Rear D. I was fixing to get out of the military, and they had gone to Bosnia. They had come back from Bosnia, and as I was walking the quad in between the billets, I seen this guy talking to himself, like he was talking to somebody, but there was nobody beside him, you know? He was talking to himself, and I said, probably just my imagination, or he's talking on the phone, you know. But at that time, I don't know if they even have anything. I think they had those ear things, so I thought he was talking on the phone with somebody. So later on that night, they're like, hey, Sergeant Cias, you need to go guard this guy that tried to commit suicide. You know, he's in the 5th Ward in the hospital. Sergeant Major wants you to do there. He wants you to come see him. So I want to go talk to the Sergeant Major, and he's like, he didn't like me. Sergeant Major didn't like me. You know, I'm spiritual. So he was like, you got the night shift. If anything happens to this guy, if he gets a little cut, I'm gonna take your rank, you know. Threatening me, you know. I said, don't worry about it, Sergeant Major, I got it. There's nothing gonna happen to this guy, you know. So I'll go up there into the 5th Ward. Well, he's not the only guy there. He's not the only one that's in there about suicide. There's so many other people in there that try to commit suicide. So I go in there, and right off the bat, as soon as I walk into the 5th Ward, I'm seeing this ugly spirits roaming around in the hallways and going to the rooms, you know. So I start praying within myself that, you know, as I guarded them for about almost a month. That was my only duty, was to guard this guy. So I had him the night shift. I would pray for him, and I had my Bible with me. And there was one evening where his name was Sergeant Edwards. He was sitting there, he was laying down, and I seen him moving around, and I see something standing beside him, and it looked like a boy, right? It looked like a boy, but then it turned into like a shadow, you know, this dark shadow being. So it starts getting hit in the head by this being, and he starts moving, swinging his arms, you know, like trying to block the punches. He gets up, And he says, did you see that? And I said, yes, I've seen that. I said, what was that? So that was my brother. I said, your brother? So I don't see your brother here. So no, that was my brother. He said, when I was younger, we were swimming in the lake and my brother drowned. That was my brother. You know, he was saying that was his brother haunting him. And the reason he tried to take his life is because when he came back from Bosnia, his wife had left him with the kids. You know, she took off, so he couldn't handle that. So he was in there, and I said, that's not your brother. I said, that's not what I've seen. So I told him what I've seen, and I said, I'm going to pray for you and all this, you know. So when I seen that, I told Sergeant Major, I said, you need to go get a priest or somebody to go pray for this guy. He's being spiritually attacked by this unseen, by this demonic or something demonic. And he's like, I don't believe in that shit. You know, Sergeant Major, you're like, I don't believe in that. So what I'm going to do is get him out of the military. I'm going to kick him out of the military. And that's Sergeant Major, you have the opportunity to change, to do something good for this guy. He needs some spiritual help. He needs somebody to come get rid of this negative energy that's attacking him. So I kept on guarding him. And then one day, one morning, he's sitting there looking at me and he starts laughing, you know, and he's looking at me and he's laughing. And I said, what are you laughing about? And he was just looking at me and said, I know what's wrong with you. That's what he told me. I said, I know what's wrong with you. I said, if you know what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me? And he's just laughing, you know. And he told me I had epilepsy, you know. I was like, man, what are you talking about? You know, I don't got no epilepsy. You know, in my mind, is I was healthy, you know, healthy and nothing wrong with me. So he's just laughing. And then I start saying the Our Father. When I was saying the Our Father, he wouldn't laugh no more. He would like get all mad, all serious, you know. So then the doctors come to me and they tell me, hey, can we talk to you? I said, sure. So we noticed something. I said, every time you come, you're the only person he's talked to. The doctors have tried to talk to him. The nurses have tried to talk to him. They cannot have one single conversation with him. But you're able to talk to him, you know. We're just trying to figure out what's the matter, you know, trying to help him. So then the Sergeant Major, he finally did what he said he was going to do. He chaptered him out of the military, and he was gone for about a week or two. And then within a week or two that he was gone out of the military, he committed suicide. His name was Sergeant Edwards. So that's why they do the works that I do, is try to help out people spiritually, to let them know that they are somebody, that they are worth something, you know, not to be deceived by false promises. Because there are, you know, there's promises that try to make, you know, the unclean spirits can try to make it to trick you into doing something. Or there's been, imagine how many people, brother, that have been deceived, that they've sold their souls. I knew many from when I was growing up, you know, where they've been deceived. You know, how many people do you think have deceived by say, okay, we can promise you this, this, and this, but you have to do this. You know, a lot of people that are out there and that are movie stars, some of them that have sold their souls, you know, to this fake promises. You know, they probably could have done things for themselves, but yeah, the spiritual battle is real. I see it happen every day, you know, to see it in the military. I still see it daily.
Would you be willing for people to contact you if they need any, maybe some help or advice?
Yes, that's no problem. They can find me, call me through Messenger. My profile is under ABCS, ABESIAS, or they can contact me. I got two sites. I got Positive Spiritualist, but the one I really do a lot of works right now on is Spiritual Encrypted Encounters. That's where I do a lot of my works off, Spiritual Encrypted Encounters. But yes, whoever might be going through something, you're not alone. You know, I'm here to help anybody, whoever needs any kind of advice, any kind of help. It doesn't matter. You're not alone. I'm here. I know what you're going through, and I can help spiritually. We can get rid of whatever is causing you harm, that's affecting your mind, your body, your spirit. But like I said, everything I've spoken about is very real. But it's not about giving those kind of things power. It's taking away the power. That's what it's about. We have to take away any kind of power, whether it's a power that you gave by believing in it because of what you were seeing, or when it's trying to come mess with you, trying to give you ultimatums of what to do. You take that power away. How? By taking authority over it, because you're great. We're greater than it. They don't have a chance to make it into the kingdom of heaven. We do. Stay strong spiritually and not let nothing deceive us. Yes, sir. ABCS. I can help anybody that needs, want to talk to me. We can talk. I'm here to assist anybody. Like I said, don't feel you're alone. With me, I understand where you're coming from. I've been through it. So don't think that I'm going to ridicule any kind of way. I'm here to help. So you're not alone. You got people like me, and there's others. There's a lot of people on my spiritual group site that we all been through something, but it makes us spiritual, you could say spiritual warriors, that we overcome the negativity through positivity because we know exactly what to do. So if you do need help, you're more than welcome to contact me. We can help you. I can help you go through whatever you're going through.
Wonderful. I'll put all links down below. So anyone that wants to reach out to Abe, you have a direct line.
Yes, sir. Thank you for giving me the platform to be able to speak, talk, share my story, and talk to people spiritually. But I really appreciate it, brother. I hope I didn't talk too much.
No, you did great. Don't worry about it. Abe, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for all listeners.
That's no problem, brother. I really appreciate you having me on.
No worries. Okay, brother, you take care of yourself, all right? And I'll talk to you real soon. All right, you enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, brother. God bless you.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A very big thank you to Abe for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.